So if I was to offer you a free trip on a luxury liner, would you want to take it? Well, it may be that you don't like the sea, but what if I told you that the year is 1912 and the ship is the Titanic? Well, you might think, well, of course I wouldn't want to go on it. But if that was the date in March 1912, you wouldn't, of course, know anything more than this luxury liner and this wonderful trip ahead. And, of course, the ship was unsinkable. That's what you were told. And so why wouldn't you take it? And so this blissful ignorance of what was going to happen in the end to this ship would have passed you by. And sometimes we live life like that as well. We're on this ship of life going somewhere, but we don't really address what's at the end of it. And we think, oh, well, there's this wonderful New York and get there and it's all wonderful, or heaven in our case as we study heaven. But Jesus talks about hell a lot more than heaven. And if Jesus takes it seriously, I know I must take it seriously, even if I don't want to take it seriously. If Jesus talks more about it than heaven, then I need to take note, and there's a reason. And there's a reason why it's very unfashionable and not talked about today, and that's how largely we've dealt it. We're unsinkable. We can go anywhere like the Titanic. But what is it? What are we talking about when we talk about hell? Well, I don't want to get into all the details, but broadly speaking, listen to this from our reading, Luke 16, 26. Between us, you have set a great chasm or a gap that has been set in place that those who want to go from here to you cannot, nor can anyone cross over from there to us. It's a gap between God and those people. Listen to this from 2 Thessalonians 1:9. Those who do not know God and do not obey the gospel of Lord Jesus will be punished with everlasting destruction and shut out from the presence of the Lord and his glorious might. So in other words, if you do not know God, if you're not a friend of God, or you're not a child of God, and do not, and also for those of us who are a gospel, you also need to obey the gospel of the Lord Jesus. So you can't just say, well, I'm a Christian and not obey God and to follow him. You need both. They will be punished with an everlasting destruction and shut out from the presence of the Lord. In other words, they will be separated from God. Now, essentially, hell is an absence of God. It's the place where God isn't, and we are. But some of you will have been brought up with this kind of condemnation. If you be careful, you'll go to hell. And it's all very condemnation. And we kind of see God as this fearsome judge who's trying to send everybody to hell. But I don't think Scripture sustains that at all. I think as we look at Scripture, we see a God who created a perfect world right from Genesis. And man decided to rebel against God. They sinned, which separated them from God. They were cast out because of sin. God cannot be with sin. Therefore, any more than light can be in darkness, God can be with sin. So they were cast out of the judgment was that they were cast out of Eden because they would not have survived. Just as darkness cannot survive in the presence of light, we with sin cannot survive in the presence of God. But when we look at Scripture, it is all pointing towards Jesus. And Jesus' one task was this, John 3:16 and 17. For God so loved the world, he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn it or to tell people they're going to hell, but in order that the world might be saved through him. He came here for the cross. He came here as a rescue mission from hell. We chose to separate ourselves from God. God chose to show a way which cost his Son his very life, a way back from hell. But what hell is our choice to choose to separate ourselves from God. That's essentially what's going on. We choose to sin, and therefore we choose to separate ourselves from God. Jesus chooses to love us so much that he sent his only son to provide a way back again. And actually, until we acknowledge what it means to be separate from God, then most of what happens on the cross is just wishy-washy love. You know, God loved us and he did this thing as some example for us. But the cross is a powerful place of salvation, which brings us back into relationship with God and saves us from eternal separation from God. So what hell is, and essentially, is giving us what we choose. We choose to be separated from God. God leaves us that separation. In fact, it is God, because God gives us that choice to love him or not to love him, the choice to sin or not to sin, we can't put this on God. There is justice in there. But as we look at this story of Lazarus and this rich man, we've got this rich man, and Jesus is telling this story. It's Jesus telling us and warning about our attitude towards it. This rich man who's living it up, which is kind of saying, however rich and however much status you have in this life, it won't save you. Even coming to church won't save you. Only Jesus will. And anyway, it comes to them going, and Lazarus, this man who was nothing in this world, goes to heaven. And the rich man goes to hell. And the rich man says, well, look, can't Lazarus at least give me a little touch of heaven, a little bit of heaven? And Jesus says, no, there's a gap. The gap between heaven and hell is now too big. It's too late in death. Once you've died, the gap is too late, which in my view challenges the idea of purgatory and everything, that there's somehow there's a second chance after we die. And then he says, well, okay, I'm here. I've got brothers. This rich man says, I've got brothers. Send Lazarus there to tell them all about the fact that this awful thing's happened to me, and don't let them do what I did and put my trust in wealth and everything else and not in Jesus. But he replies, or Abraham replies, who's the representative, replies of the Jews. He says, no. You've got the law and you've got Moses and the prophets. Moses was the law. He represented the law. You've got Moses and the prophets. So in other words, you've got the Bible and you've got these preachers and people saying this is what the truth is. That should be enough. What I've said, what God says in his words, it's enough to warn you that heaven matters. It saves you from something. It isn't just a nice place to go. It saves you from eternal separation. And then he tries another tactic. He says, well, if Lazarus is risen, he'll see that he's risen from the dead. Now, it's very interesting that he's called Lazarus, because, of course, Jesus later raises his friend Lazarus from the dead. And then later on, of course, Jesus rises from the dead. And still they don't believe. And he says, you've got it all. And if they don't believe someone rising from the dead, they won't believe anything. And this is what our message is today. That Jesus died on the cross to save us from eternal separation from God, so we can spend eternity with God, this God of love. But we are all going to face judgment. We read in verse 14 of our Revelation, the sea gave up the dead that were in it, and death and Hades gave up the dead that were in them, and each person will be judged according to what they have done. Scripture is so clear that one day we are going to be accountable. And if you rely on being good and having no sin in your life, you're probably in trouble. But at the end of the day, people's eternal destination is up to God. People sometimes say to me, don't you worry about when you're taking funerals and you don't know where they're going. You don't know what their destination is. And I say, well, that ain't my job. That's God's. My hope is in Jesus. And their hope is in Jesus too. It's not my place to be judge. not your place to be judge. It's our job as the church of God to say, there is a way to spend eternity with the living God. And it's through Jesus, his cross, and the resurrection of Jesus, and this awesome message of good news. It doesn't help us if we have a terminal illness and we don't go to the doctor. It won't help the illness. We need to have that diagnosis so we can have the treatment. And we sometimes think that if we don't speak about the reality of what Jesus saves us from, then it'll all just go away. But it won't. The Titanic was on its path, and so are we. It's unavoidable. We can change our theology to get rid of hell if we want. But is that the truth? We can not talk about it and pretend it's not real. But is that the truth? Now, please, I ask you, don't believe me or take my word for it. Read scripture yourself. You might disagree with me. I'm not the truth. God is. Do challenge what I say. Do disagree with me. But let's at least seek the truth, so we're not in ignorance and arrogance as the Titanic was. And that this rich man was, desperate and when it was too late. Let's have an urgency about this gospel of love, which brings people in life, but most of all in death, to being with God for all eternity. And God is not just life, he's love. God, he's not a giver of love, he is love. And when we're connected to him in life and in death, we have what we're all looking for, which is love. That's what we're after. And this message is good news. Hell is not bad news because we're saved from it through Jesus. That's the good news. So let's go and tell our friends, our neighbours. Let's pray for those who don't know God's love. Let's urgently share this wonderful good news. But I believe it matters. I might be wrong, but as I read scripture, this is how I read it. Read it for yourself at least, and see what you think. Amen.